Are you one of those people that has to know how much the Babe Ruth ball is actually worth?
I was going to bring it back, but it was signed by Babe Ruth. Yeah, you keep telling me that. Who is she?
We'll keep it right here because today is your lucky day.
The Sultan of Clout.
King of Clout.
The Colossus of Clout. The Colossus of Clout.
It's time for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ERC Delivery and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, and our producer is Chris Black. We're on every Saturday morning taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. The number here is 312-332-3776. If you have something you think might be valuable, give us a call. We'll give you an idea if it's worth putting in a Huggins and Scott auction or if it's not even worth bringing in to T-Crowd. Sometimes you never know. You never know what it's going to be worth. You can also tweet me a picture of an item at T-Crown Tom is my Twitter ID, and if we use it on the show, you get in the drawing. We're giving away this week, actually, a box of 2017 Diamond Kings baseball from Panini. I saw a few of these open this week. They have two hits per box. It's a nice product. Saw some nice patch cards and patch autographs coming out of there.
They got a lot of nice short printed stuff.
They do. A lot of numbered stuff in there. So it's a good product. So give us a call, 312-332-3776. There's lots of items already up at HugginsandScott.com, so we're going to fill you in with some of the items, try to give you a variety of things that are at HugginsandScott.com so you can get an idea what people are sending in, what people are bidding on, what value there is. And then there might be something with Which Ended Higher coming out later this week.
But
also,
I've won two in a row, 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, you're on a hot streak. Your batting average has gone up
to 500.
A ton. Yeah,
yes.
From,
you know,
zero to 500.
How much money I would make in MLB if I was 500?
Oh my gosh!
Hitter.
Yeah. Well, that's like the, who's that first baseman for the Brewers we were talking about?
Jesus Aguilar.
He hit almost 500 in spring training.
Yep.
And you're the Brewers. You're not going to win the
that's
title.
Right.
Play
that's
the guy.
Right.
He's on my
that's
fantasy
right.
bench. Come
we
on.
Took him in the draft last night. A very late pick.
Yeah.
So we're hoping that he gets some at bats and shows what he can do.
You would think seven homers, hit 460. Oh. He's on a team that has no chance to win. He's 26. You'd think they might find a spot for him, but you never know.
We'll keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, at Huggins and Scott.com, there's a lot of items up already. For instance, there's a Christy Mathewson book, One in the Ninth. It's called WON, One in the Ninth, signed, first edition, printed in 1910. And this is presentation copy number 410. I don't think, Bill, they said how many total they actually made, but there couldn't have been a ton of them. And you don't see Christy Mathewson signed books like just laying around very often, do you?
No, and he is, you know, by far of the first five inductees in the Hall of Fame. His autograph is worth all four of the others added up together times something, literally.
Wow. Yeah, yeah.
Cause you just never see his stuff. And that book, we've had a couple of them over the years, and you're right. I don't believe it is numbered out of X number, but I've talked to some people, and they say there probably are about a couple of hundred in existence, you know.
Really? That's it, huh? Now, wasn't the story with him that he was in training for World War One and he got gassed or something, and he was sick after that and then died at a young age in the 1920s?
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, I think that's the deal. So, and he had a great signature. I think he was one of the first star baseball players who went to college, too. Now, I'm doing this. I hope this is right. I'm doing this off the top of my head. But he seemed like a real classy guy, great signature, too.
Yep.
You know, that's in the old days, some of those guys had beautiful signatures.
Well, they took their time, you know, and really it meant, not to say it doesn't mean anything now to the guy signing now, but they really took their time in who they were and signing their names. So
it seems more now, a lot of the signatures, it's almost like a logo that they have. You know what I mean? It's a design. And not only Zorro that Vince Clemente signs for the drawings he's doing at Tea Crowd. He's got like a Zorro, Mark of Zorro.
I used to take so much time when I started ERC. Just took my time signing a check. I was so proud. Now it's like just a V with an I and a dot, and that's it. You know?
I still sign checks with my name pretty normal, but when I sign that UPS or FedEx, they come, it's kind of Zorro-like.
see a T and that's it, you know?
Yeah, without a doubt.
Well, you know, Tom, that signature on the sweet spot of that baseball I have looked pretty good.
There you go.
Yeah, that was cool. I'm glad we got that. Yep. I've got mine. I probably have maybe 16 baseballs in cubes at home. You know, in a row on a shelf. I got we have a finished basement, and that's one of the baseballs up there now.
Nice.
I like that
with the
three of us on there. And I don't think it'll ever be up for auction, though. I don't see that hitting the Huggins and Scott minimum bids.
But it's
priceless. We could have numbered them 1 of 3, 2 of 3.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, we could do that.
We could still do that.
Yeah,
yes.
we'll have to draw tickets to see who gets number 1, who gets number 2, and number 3. We'll do that sometime.
Yeah, that's funny.
Now, also in HugginsandScott.com, you can check it out. Here's something. It's not only the old baseball packs, and here's getting to 1980 Topps football. 5 1980 Topps football unopened 36 pack wax boxes, $200 minimum bid on that. Some of the stuff that from the 70s that, you know, 20 years ago, people thought, oh, that stuff's never going to be worth anything. Those unopened packs are getting to be really big from there. And now here's 1980. We'll see what happens with that.
Can you imagine how many unopened packs I had in the 70s in my possession?
Yeah, I opened a lot of packs in the 60s, actually, as a kid.
Man.
But I never even the thought of keeping one unopened. It's like, are you kidding me? Yeah, okay, for 3 seconds.
Yeah, I know that
and then,
feeling.
Oh, wait a minute, this one isn't open yet. Now, guys have brought in a bunch of stuff into Triple Crown in Naperville during the week. This was kind of interesting. Last Saturday, a listener from the north suburbs, it was kind of a busy Saturday, a bunch of guys there, and he and his girlfriend, I think another couple that were friends with them, came in and had a really interesting item. It was a Super Bowl 30 ring awarded to umpire John Keck, who I don't remember if it was his uncle. It was some relative for the guy who brought it in, and he wanted to know what we thought maybe the value would be on it. And Josh had found another, it wasn't an umpire, but another Super Bowl official from, I think it was Super Bowl 25, one of his rings had sold a couple years ago, I believe, in an auction for $2,700. So we figured this would probably be worth $2,000 to $4,000. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty neat. That would be a neat auction item, don't you think? Well, I didn't even realize until I saw that Super Bowl officials got Super Bowl rings.
I didn't either. I, like I said, when I saw the little transcripts of the emails you guys had back and forth, that was the first I had heard. I guess I don't know if it does it look like the rings they gave everybody else, or is it a special ring?
I don't know what the players' rings look like from that year, but it looked like a World Series type or Super Bowl type ring. I mean, it was a real nice looking ring. So, I mean,
and it had the logo of the team that won on it?
It had the umpire's name on the side. I took a couple pictures of it, but I don't remember what it said as far as, I think it said Super Bowl 30, you know, the XXX thing. But I don't remember off the top of my head if it said I think it was the last time that the Cowboys won, he said, was that Super Bowl. But it was neat. That would be a cool auction item. And what else had somebody brought in? Remember last week on the show, it was John B. on Twitter contacted me and said he had a Niall Kinnick autograph. He actually sent me that picture, and I tweeted a picture of it. I think it was John's mother was at something at Iowa City that Niall Kinnick was at. and got the program signed by him. And those, that's in the $6,000 to $8,000 range for that if he ever does decide that he wants to sell it. I tweeted a picture of it, really neat. Now, Kinnick was killed in, I believe, during World War II. I think he was in the Air Force, I believe, is the story with him. But his signatures aren't around, and they named the Iowa Stadium Niall Kinnick Stadium. So, I mean, pretty cool story there. So that was a neat item. And people can bring stuff in during the week. Now, this coming week at Triple Crown, I'm going to be closed Wednesday through Saturday because my son's getting married. My oldest son, Jim's getting married, so that's exciting.
That's a special day.
Yeah, and I'm typically closed on Sundays, but next week, this is the Masters Sunday, I'm going to be open on that Sunday because I'll be closed Wednesday through Saturday. I'm open on that Sunday, and I'm going to do a drawing and give away a box just for that day.
Very cool.
Guys yesterday were saying, yeah, we're going to be doing a cooking out outside, waiting for you to get there, picketing, where is he, you know, things like that.
That's awesome. Well, what time should we start the line? What time are you opening up?
On that Sunday, it's going to be 10 o'clock, cool. 10 to 3:30.
Awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
So that should be interesting. But people bring stuff in during the week, some just really nice stuff. And as much as possible, I try to tweet a picture of it when I can, when somebody brings something cool in. So let's see here. We've got John from Bartlett on the line. What do you have there, John?
Hey, how's it going? You were just talking about my grandfather's Super Bowl ring that I brought in last week.
Okay, that was your grandfather. He was the umpire, John Keck?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that was
his position. Obviously, there are multiple positions on the or officials' positions on the field, but yeah, he was the umpire. And to answer a question that one of the other guys had was the ring is not nearly as gaudy as a player's ring would be, but it's still, to your point, it was still pretty cool.
Very cool ring, yeah. It was like, whoa. Now, is that something you're keeping in your family forever, or are you ever thinking of auctioning that?
Yeah, I'm going to keep it. There's no way I'm going to get rid of it. He passed away a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Left it to me because I'm officiating as well. But yeah, that is a special piece that he wore for 15-20 years.
Yeah, they're really neat. Yeah, I would suggest if you're looking for insurance, do like $4,000 or $5,000 on it, I would think. I mean, you know, you put that in an auction and you just never know where it might go, but I would cover it for at least that amount.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, that was the main goal, just to see how much I should insurance get on.
Yeah, and you got into the quagmire of T Crown on a Saturday there. Did you think you were gonna make it out?
You guys were super busy that day, so it was good to I'm glad I caught you.
Yeah, it was fun. It was cool to see it. I'm glad you brought it in. Thanks.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, you said that right. There's just fun at Triple Crown. If you guys haven't been out there, you got to check it out. There's prizes, there's drawings. I mean, opening up packs and just sharing stories. It's really, really a great place.
Yesterday, I guess there was no school during the week for, you know, the school districts there. And it wasn't so much younger people, but yesterday there were like two shifts. There was an early where it was like a Saturday, and then there was a late shift, and it was like a Saturday too. It was pretty crazy in there.
Awesome.
Yeah, but it was fun. I mean, days like that are usually really fun, especially when guys are pulling some really nice cards. There were some really good cards.
Oh, I saw
pulled this week.
Elaney to 10 pulled this week, a picture from a Triple
That's
Crown.
Already Very changed nice. Hands at T-Crown.
A couple times, yes. Traded and
somebody
exchanged.
Will get that, and four different guys will own it within a week. You know, it's like, wait a minute, who has it now? What happened to it? Yeah. Well, it was owned by a guy in Wisconsin for about 2 hours, and then it got back to this guy here.
Yeah, and then five trades later, it comes back to him. You know, he's got it again. You know?
Yeah, that's right. Here's something that you don't see every day that's going to be in the Huggins and Scott May auction. Bidding begins April 24th, goes through May 4th. 1956 Davy Crockett complete 80-card set. About VG condition overall, $100 minimum bid on the Davy Crockett, and showed
Very
the pictures
cool.
from the old Davy Crockett TV show. That's something. You just never know what you're going to find in these Huggins. A lot of times people come in with stuff and they're like, well, they're just sports stuff, aren't they? It's like, oh, no. There's all kinds of different stuff. You get a lot of unusual stuff, don't you, Bill?
Oh, yeah. Every day, I think, you know, when we came up with our, Americana section, it's been crazy. I mean, I can remember one auction where we were up till 2:30 in the morning, guys bidding on Tez dispensers.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder if that came from the excitement from Seinfeld had a couple Pez things in there. So how much did they end up going for? What a Pez!
I think it was a group. It was a group of three of them, and they were supposedly the tough ones. I'm not sure. It's either the ones with feet or without feet that are good. And whichever one it is, this was the tougher one. And it was a group of three of them that went for $1,200.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me? Pez.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Now, if I had just left my packs closed and my Pez dispenser filled, I'd be in business.
Yeah.
But I'm not. Really? Well, I guess I am in business. Sure. Yeah. I just would be a wealthier in business. Yep. All right. Well, the number here is 312-332-3776. We're on till 8, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. We have a 2017 Panini Diamond Kings baseball box to give away to one caller. Or if you tweet a picture of an item to my attention, T-Crown Tom is my Twitter ID, and we use it on the show, you get in the drawing that way. So hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan. Sponsored by ERCDelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, and our producer, Chris Black. We're on every Saturday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. The number's 312-332-3776. You can give us a call with a question about the value of an item. If you think it might be worth something, if you think it could be valuable enough to go in a Huggins and Scott auction, give us a call, and we'll tell you what we think it might go for in an auction. I had Ron, you know, we were talking earlier that it's not just sports stuff. Ron from Hammond, Indiana, stopped by Triple Crown. He's a listener earlier this week. He had a 1966 Topps Batman 55 card set, and it was the pictures from the old TV show from the 60s. So that was kind of neat. That by itself might not be enough for a Huggins and Scott auction, but he had another set, and he just realized he was missing a card. I don't remember what it was, but he said he's as soon as he finds that last card, I think the two of those sets then are going to go to Huggins and Scott, Bill. That I don't remember what the other one was, but it was a good set. You know, a bigger name set from the 60s. Some of those can do pretty well, the non-sports sets like that.
Oh, sure, absolutely. I mean, we've run the Batman sets have really, there's like four sets. There's the Black Bat, the Blue Bat, and the Red Bat. And those are kind of the cartoon ones. And then there's the real pictures of the TV show that they had. And to put those four sets together, they get $500 to $1,000 if they're in nice shape.
Yeah, that's good. And his were in very nice shape. So, you know, it was definitely worth checking out. I don't remember what the set was, but he was going to bring it in, and he's like, oh, geez, I'm missing a card. It's like, well, you might as well find. I think he can get the card, whatever it was.
They had some interesting shows in the 60s. Batman, I Dream of Jeannie, the Monkees. I mean, all that late 60s lane there.
And we were going to watch him no matter what because there wasn't anything else on. It was three or four channels, and that was it. Mark from Kenosha, Wisconsin's on the line. What do you have there, Mark?
Hey, I've got a Red Grange autograph on an index card that's part of a rendered drawing from an artist. And in Lake Forest, probably 2 years ago, I had it authenticated by, I think it's PSA DNA. Is that what it is, the authentication company? They checked it out, and they said it was original, and never really got a price on it, just that it was authentic. So
okay, they authenticated that the autograph was real, or that something about the picture also?
The autograph is real. The picture is an artist drawing, which is basically it's almost like a painting instead of a drawing. But part of the cutout had the index card with the autograph of Red Grange.
Okay, yeah. Typically, like a cut signature of Red Grange might be, oh, $100 range. Those by themselves don't go for a ton. But if okay. if the artwork is big, like Bill, let's say this was a big name artist and it was a cool Red Grange original art piece, then you might have some value, right?
Oh, you could get to $1,000 probably real quick at something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, without a doubt. So that's going to be the key to that one.
Big is this thing, Mark?
Oh, I just hit the he gone. So if he comes, maybe he can let us know that. But I've got a cool Red Grange at home. It's just a little black and white photo of him on the bench with, you know, one of those old helmets with no mask. And he's got the most intense look on his face. And, you know, watching a play going on that he signed. I really like that. You know, it's not a ton of value, but it was such a cool picture. I really liked the looks of that one.
That's cool.
Yeah. So. What does that mean?
It's time.
It's time for which ended higher. Okay. Now, here's three items that ended in the February 2017 Huggins and Scott auction. You can play along at home, people. I'm going to read these three items, and Vince is going to try to guess which one ended higher in the Huggins and Scott auction. First one, a 1992 Team USA signed basketball with 12 signatures. Guys like Jordan, Magic, Bird, Barkley all signed it. Okay, that's the first item. The Dream Team, 92 Team USA signed basketball. Second item, 1973 Topps Baseball 4th Series unopened 24-pack wax box. We've been saying some of this stuff from the 70s is getting really valuable now. So this is a 1973 24-pack unopened box. You probably opened a few of these, Vince, in your lifetime. And the third item, a 1976 Topps Football Walter Payton rookie number 148 graded PSA 9. I looked it up. Here's a hint. They graded PSA graded 6,260 examples of Payton rookies. 49 were 10s, 542 nines. Okay, so it's Team USA signed basketball, 73 Topps unopened wax box, and a Payton rookie PSA 9.
Well, I can tell you, it's all that 73 unopened box. I had one of those and for my birthday, actually.
Oh.
And I opened it up probably within 10 minutes of getting it.
Do you still have the wrappers,
no,
at least?
No, I don't. Nor the gun, nor the cards, you know.
Yeah, right.
So, but I just think that it's going to be the 1976 Topps football with Walter, or the football Payton.
Yeah.
The card.
Surprise,
what does that mean?
Surprise.
It means you're wrong.
Jeez.
You went the opposite way. The most expensive item, $3,600, the Team USA signed basketball.
I could see that.
Next, $2,800, the 24-pack wax box, and a 9 Payton rookie, $1,600, which isn't bad.
No, $1,600. Not bad. All three nice prizes.
Yeah,
nice
very good items.
Collections, yeah.
So now, see, you were bragging about your batting average.
I'm
and now
2
you're,
for 5.
You're down to 400.
400, yes.
Yeah, you'd still be in the Hall of Fame.
Still be a billionaire, you know,
yeah, right.
Baseball.
Mike from Antioch's on the line. What do you have there, Mike?
Yes, good morning, Tom and Vince. I have a hypothetical for you.
Okay.
If I were to get the ball, borrow the baseball without his consent from Mr. Tom Ricketts, the ball that went from Brian to Rizzo for the last out in the World Series last year.
Oh.
Okay. And I need to know what it might be valued at, so if I'm facing a misdemeanor or a felony.
Okay, for all you Chicago police officers out there, and we know you're listening, and we enjoy that you're watching. It's Mike from Antioch that's thinking of stealing this ball. And we will tell you, if let's say the Ricketts family said, "Sure, Mike, come on in. You can auction this ball, Bill."
Only for 10 years.
Yeah, that probably breaks 100,000, don't you think, Bill? Well over 100,000, maybe.
Oh, yes. I mean, there are enough people out there. I don't, there is no ceiling on that.
Yeah, because, and you know, at the time I checked with MLB And they, since it stayed on the field, they followed Rizzo, saw he put it in his back pocket. They got him. They got the ball from him. They did get an authentication sticker or whatever they put on it.
I was going to use their fingerprints.
Well, no. Yeah, well, your fingerprints are going to be on it, Mike. So
happy April Fool's Day, gentlemen.
Okay. Bye. Thank you, Mike.
Perfect call for today.
That was a good. That's
call.
Great. It is April Fool's Day.
Yes, it is.
You know, speaking of fools, last year on April Fool's Day, I was at the dentist. That's not a really good strategy.
Not a good combination,
no,
I think.
No, not what you want to do on April Fool's Day. The number here is 312-332-3776. We're on till 8. Taking your questions about the value of your collectibles, or you can tweet me a picture of an item at T Crown Tom is my Twitter ID. Jeff, I always think this is Jeff from Highland, Indiana, but I think it's Jeff Highland. Actually, I know it is. He's been in T Crown before. Jeff on Twitter. He has two Northwestern football tie clips. Not sure if team issued. These are kind of cool. They've got the Northwestern logo. One has 1961 score versus Illinois, and the other has 1960-62 scores versus Illinois. These look kind of cool. Bill, do you think if I sent you maybe the copy of these pictures, you think these might have potential for a Huggins and Scott auction?
So what did you say? They were earrings or cufflinks or what?
Tie clips, football tie clips. They look like, it looks like a little football with the N Northwestern logo and the year around it. And then looks like there might be in the one, it might be like a little diamond or something in there. Jeff, let's hope this is like a really expensive, like a 20 carat diamond. But I don't know. You want to look at the pictures, Bill, and then you know I'll send them to you, and we can you can decide if you think you want to auction. Jeff is the guy Jeff is the guy that found that old St. Louis Browns game worn jersey that ended up going for thousands that he got, I think, at a flea market.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that something? That was very cool. All right, we have Dave from McHenry on the line. What do you have there, Dave?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Great.
You were talking about the Masters. I have something my grandfather gave me. It's from Noritake, so it's a china plate. It's about 9 inches tall, and the whole front of the plate is a picture of the 13th hole at Augusta. Mm-hmm. And on the back, it says it's the Arnold Palmer collection, his favorite holes. And the last I looked it up was many years ago, and I understand that it was never finished, meaning they only produced a couple of Arnold Palmer's favorite holes.
Huh, really? Now, Bill, would you probably need to have some paperwork or some proof of that fact, but if that was the case, what do you know what year they were produced, Dave?
I honestly do not, no.
How long have you had it?
I've had it for well over 40 years.
Oh, What do you think of that, Bill? Is that something worth looking into?
I think so. I mean, you know, Masters stuff and then Masters and Arnold Palmer. I mean, that's peanut butter and jelly right there.
It is. And then if you could, now, how did you find out that there were only a couple of them produced? And do you have anything that you know, that's written up or from anybody to prove that fact?
I don't. All I did was, you know, I Googled Masters Arnold Palmer plate. And, you know, in one of the sites, like an antique, a place had said that Noritake or the Arnold Palmer collection never finished producing all of his favorite holes. So I don't know how many plates were done. I don't know how many holes were done. Again, it's just something that I have since I collect golf collectibles.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. Now, I would suggest maybe if you send me a picture of it, I'll see if I can find anything out about it. Also, if you... email me a picture, tcrowntom@gmail.com is a good email for sending that where I will see it. And if I can find out, what do you think, Bill? You would only if you found out it was a low print run, would you want to do it? Or being that it's 40 years old, you might give it a shot anyway.
Well, it's not signed, right, by Arnold Palmer or anything.
Well, there is a signature of Arnold Palmer on the front, on the bottom of the plate. But, you know, again, it's not signed by him. It's just, you know, the replication of his signature.
Yeah. So I guess the key would...
Emblazoned signature or something.
The key would probably be how few were produced and if we can find that out. And then, you know, I'd like to see what it looks like. I like plates like that. But if it's a mass-produced thing, it's probably not going to be worth a ton by itself. I had one of our listeners who moved to Florida brought in some nice signed stuff, and he had a Arnold Palmer Masters flag is one of the things signed, wow, you know, that got sent in. That stuff does well. Those Master flags, that's a good golf collectible, don't you think, Bill? If somebody's collecting golf autographs, that's a good one to do.
Oh, absolutely. And the different flags, as they've changed over the years, where they sometimes they have the dates on them, sometimes they don't. It just depends on which year the flag was done. Some of them are much less around than others.
Yeah, that's true. You can actually, there's a site that you can look that up that it shows what the changes they made and how many they made, how many years they had them, whatever. So it's pretty cool. All right, it's already coming up to a time for another short break again. The number here is 312-332-3776. We're on every Saturday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. We're giving away to one caller this week a 2017 Diamond Kings baseball box, or if you tweet a picture to my attention, at TCrownTom is my Twitter ID, we'll get you in the drawing, and Vince Clementi's company, ERC Delivery, will deliver to the winner if the winner emails by Thursday to vince@ercdelivery.com. Or if you tweet a picture of an item to TCrownTom and we use it on the show, you get in the drawing. So hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on every Saturday from 7 to 8, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. Give us a call, 312-332-3776. Getting a drawing this week. We're giving away a 2017 Diamond Kings baseball box to one caller. If you tweet a picture of an item, TCrownTom is my Twitter ID, you get in. I tweeted a picture, I don't know where I even saw this, but somebody had a 1947 All-Star Game ticket at Wrigley Field, a mezzanine seat, a $4 ticket in 1947. It was graded PSA 5, probably worth $150, $200, something like that. But here's my question for you.
Yes, sir.
In 1947, it was $4. What would the buying power of that $4 be in 2017? So technically, what should that ticket cost if they were asking with the same inflation rate? But what's $4 worth in 2017?
I'm going to say $19.
$19?
Yes, that's my guess, yeah. Yes.
Biller, you think higher or lower than $19? $4.47.
I'm going to say higher.
How high are you going?
I'm going to go $25.
Okay, $43.70.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which would still be a bargain for a mezzanine All-Star Game ticket. I imagine they'd probably be at least a couple hundred dollars asking on that now.
Hey, real quick, Tom, are we on next Saturday? No.
Next Saturday we are not going to be on, and I think because I've got my sons getting married, so we're not going to be on next Saturday. We're going to have a two-hour show to make up for our missing next Saturday. I think the week before the National Sport Collectors Convention, where Bill and Huggins and Scott will be here in Rosemont for that with a display that's probably bigger than T-Crown at the National with all kinds of stuff in that auction. That's going to be a big auction for you also, isn't it, Bill?
Oh, yeah. That's our signature one of the year where we gathered. I mean, I've already gathered quite a number of items that people bring us in, and they'll send us a whole bunch of stuff, and I'll say, hey, do you mind if we hold these two or three items for our big auction? And most of them are very, you know, obliging on that. They like to see the big exposure that those get.
Yeah, that's right. And then there's still a lot of things in the May Huggins and Scott auction. Bidding begins April 24th, goes through May 4th. We had talked about this earlier. I tweeted a picture of this week. An Abraham Lincoln one-of-one cut signature card pulled from 2009 Upper Deck Prominent Cuts, $3,500 minimum bid on that one. What would you do if you pulled an Abraham Lincoln cut?
I think I'd keep it.
Yeah,
my mom shares a birthday with Abraham.
Oh, really?
February 12th, as does my stepdaughter. So I think, you know, an Abraham Lincoln, you know, have a display at home.
Yeah,
with Lincoln
that would
stuff.
Be very cool.
Absolutely.
That would be a good one to keep.
Yep.
When I tweeted it, a guy said that. He goes, man, if I pulled that one, that would end my collecting because that would be, I couldn't
the
get
Holy
any
Grail,
better than that.
That's right. That's right. The Holy Grail.
Yeah. And we've got Nathan from LaPorte, Indiana on the line. What do you have there, Nathan?
I have a Carl Erskine autographed baseball. Got it from my grandfather. I don't really know much about it. Never got it authenticated. Didn't know what you guys thought about it.
He was on those real good Brooklyn Dodgers teams, but his autographed baseballs don't sell for a ton. I'm thinking probably $50, $75 range if it's him by himself. Some of those Brooklyn Dodger team sign balls, though, Bill, those will go for some bucks.
Oh, yeah, especially the 55. That's the biggie in the whole group.
Yeah, the one where they finally cracked it through and won the World Series, huh? Now, that was Jackie Robinson. Wasn't that his last game with the Brooklyn Dodgers was the end of that World Series?
I think he played in 56.
Oh, he did play in 56. Okay, yeah, you might be right. You know, speaking of the May Huggins and Scott auction, I had a gentleman who listens to the show. These were cool items. These were actually, they had the MLB hologram on them. So you can go look that hologram number up at MLB and it'll say what they are. Two separate auctions. One was a Billy Williams. I think it was a retirement flag that hung in Wrigley Field, I believe, for a couple months in 2006. So that's one auction, and if you that has its own hologram, the, a $250 minimum bid on that one. Then there was a Ryne Sandberg flag that I put a picture of both of these up over, but there's a link to the Billy Williams auction on Twitter now. Ryne Sandberg flag, same thing, where it's got the MLB hologram, and it says when it hung in Wrigley Field
that's
on the foul
nice.
Pole. So, yeah, that's very cool. It'll be interesting to see what those do. There were a couple guys in at the time, and they each held a side of it. And, you could see that hanging on a wall very easily in a bar room at a house or something where it'd be a cool thing
Great
to have on a
wall. Display piece for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, it really would be good. Sam from the North Side's on the line. What do you have there, Sam?
How are you this morning?
Doing great.
Good. What I have here is a Ken Griffey Jr. 1997 All-Star Baseball. Signed by Ken Griffin. What do you think the value of that ball
Griffey
is?
Griffey Jr., I would think right now, if I had that at T-Crown, if it was authenticated, probably $100, $150, somewhere in that range. You don't see as many Griffey Jr. single-sign baseballs. Have you noticed that, Bill, that in lots that you get, there's not as many Griffey Jr.'s as some of the other stars from the last 20, 30 years?
Oh, yeah, no. The main reason being is he doesn't do the show circuit.
No, he doesn't. That's right.
I talked to the guys who run the White Plains show that we do, Jimmy Ryan and Brian, and I think he told me he offered Griffey, I don't know, a couple of $100,000 to sign, and he just said, no, I just don't want to do, you know, just not me, you know.
Yeah. Wow. Wouldn't that be something to be offered a couple hundred grand to just go sign your, you could have your Zorro signature, you could sign a million in it.
I'll take half of that,
yeah,
you know.
Right. Me too. Wouldn't you, Sam?
So yeah, absolutely.
That's a good keeper ball, though. It shows that, you know, if Griffey continues that way and doesn't sign a lot of baseballs, then long term, that's going to have some good value.
Okay. All right. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. How did you get it, Sam?
Well, I got it through, I ordered it through one of the magazines that I have.
Okay.
It's a limited edition, 1997. You know, I'm kind of a little collector, and you get all this stuff in the mail and stuff.
Yeah.
And I just ordered it through one of the magazines that came in.
Yeah, very cool.
And I picked up on it, and I just listen to your show. I'm glad you're on Saturday mornings. You know, I'm up most of the time on Saturday morning.
Very good. Well, and make sure you keep that ball out of direct sunlight or real bright lights because you don't want the signature to fade. But, yeah, that's got some long-term potential. Thanks for the call, Sam.
Perfect.
All right. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I didn't realize. But that is a key. Like the guys that are always at the shows and signing, and they're signing and all the different card products and things. those are the guys, even though they're Hall of Famers, a lot of times the value just isn't that much.
Supply and demand.
It
you
is,
know, you
yeah.
flood the market, the value goes down.
Now, there's still a big value for, like, Babe Ruth, who signed a ton, and yep. Mickey Mantle, who signed a ton, just because the demand is so huge.
Where are all those autographs, though?
Yeah, that, you know, right.
Signing
right.
baseballs and throwing them down from a second-floor balcony.
Yeah,
I saw a documentary.
That's right.
Just signing baseballs and throwing them to the crowd.
I've had a couple come into T-Crown over the years. That one of them was a Babe Ruth that this guy's, I think, father had won on he was in a Cub Scouts or something, and he was at the Babe Ruth radio show in the 40s. And won a thing from where he got a signed ball from Ruth. And I sold, this was about 10 years or so ago, I sold that ball. And another one, a guy and his brother had, where they had Ruth and Gehrig, Ruth, and then they had a few other baseball players sign it. And then Johnny signed it, or, you know, one of the brothers signed
yeah,
it, and they
right.
played with it. You can see the scuff marks on it, but it was still cool.
That's
you know, it had the big Babe Ruth on the sweet spot and the little Gehrig signature over the side.
Yeah.
It looked like the Gehrig signature had hit the pavement, though, when they were playing with it.
But something like that, they're going to keep it forever.
Well,
so
actually, they ended up selling
it. Did they really
have
their
own
name on it, huh?
They did,
wow.
yeah. And the guy who bought it, used to be a regular T-Crown customer, moved to Arizona, and another regular T-Crown customer later on came and said, you know, I thought, is that ball still available? And it's like, nope, Dennis got it, and he moved, sorry.
Well, you never know through a trade, it might circle back and end up at Triple Crown again.
It'll be at a trade day. It's like, whoa, how'd you get this? Okay, let's see who's waiting the longest here. We've got Pat from Mundelein on the line. What do you have there, Pat?
How you doing? So Terry Wood frequents the facility I work at, and many years ago, my buddies at the time went to the Cubs game, and I couldn't go, but I had a ticket. And I didn't end up going, but I kept the ticket because it was a game that he pitched 20 strikeouts in. I came to my facility, I couldn't believe my luck, and I was able to get him to sign the ticket.
Now, that's pretty cool. So was that May 6th, 1998?
That's correct, his rookie year against the Astros.
I think that might be in the $50 to $100 range, but it has some value potential to it, you know, because it is a 20 strikeout game. But the fact that his career lagged from what people hoped, I think has hurt the demand on his stuff. But he seemed like he was a really good guy.
Yes.
And what stuff he had. I mean, when you could see a guy's stuff on television where it looks like, oh, I wouldn't want to bat against that guy. He had that kind of stuff. And boy, it was really working that day. So were you, did you say you didn't, it was an unused ticket or you were at the game and it was a ticket stub?
Correct. I could not go, so it was never torn.
Okay. So it was an unused ticket. Bill, are you kind of with me on that? That's, you know, pretty good, but not tremendous?
Yeah, well, you may be a hair low on that only because of what he just said, that it's a full ticket rather than a stub.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, it's the same because if he had turned into a Hall of Fame career, the thing could be $500 to $1,000 each. You know?
Yeah, originally when he came up and he had that game, people are thinking this is another Nolan Ryan, you know. But his arm just didn't hold up, and that hurt.
But
the
value. we've got a nice lot in this coming auction of Roger Clemens when he did his 20 strikeout thing. We've got a whole bunch of different things. Our guy from Orland Park, Lenny Lundberg, gave me this when I was in Chicago. And I don't know if the guys have written it yet, but it'll be posted here in the next couple of days. It's a whole little group of stuff that around that date of the Clemens 20K, you know, strikeout.
Oh, that ought to be interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Including a signed ticket, I think, as well. So.
Oh, yeah, that's good. So that'll be a lot then in your auction.
Yeah, it's a group of four or five things related to that whole day, you know.
We had another gentleman brought into Triple Crown in Naperville. He had some signed bats in baseball. Signed bats have really held their value much better than a lot of other things for guys who signed a lot of things. He had a Joe DiMaggio with the Yankee Clipper designation on it. He had a Ted Williams, a Musial. And then he had a Mickey Mantle signed Louisville Slugger's signature model bat. That's got a $300 minimum bid. I put the picture of that up. Mantle bats do real well still, don't they, Bill?
Oh, yeah. Especially if they have any inscriptions on them.
Yeah. Another mantle item that's in the upcoming May Huggins and Scott auction is a Mantle 53 Tops card, number 82, graded PSA 5.5. That's a nice grade on that card. Tweeted a picture of that one and linked to the auction page. $2,500 minimum bid on that one. Interesting to see how those items do. Mantle stuff is still off the charts.
What is the magic with Mantle? What do you think the magic is where he just is just so popular no matter what?
Yeah,
you know,
he was like the golden boy of the 50s and, you know, the power, speed. They were always winning titles. The whole thing, you know, people liked him. It's just he had charisma, the whole deal. Yeah. And there wasn't as much out there about the personal lives where if some of that stuff had been coming out at the time, maybe it wouldn't have been the same.
I think the reporters hid a lot of those details of their lives.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Protect them.
Tim from
he had the name Mickey Mantle. I mean, if his name was Fred Ostrowski, I just don't know that it would have been the same longevity.
It did have a ring to it, without a doubt. And he did have the charisma. I mean, there's something to that. But then plus the power and speed when you're hitting home runs, like they have a baseball card from 1 year showing, like they had like lines showing where his home run ball went.
Really?
It went so far, you know, stuff like that. He was just, he had a hero to a lot of the young kids of that time who grew up and have a lot of money. Now, I guess that when you're paying $300,000 for a PSA 7 52 Topps card, you know, that's some bucks. Tim from Beverly's online. What do you have there, Tim?
Yeah, I've got an autographed picture of Charles Manson. My uncle was a guard at the penitentiary, and he had a picture of Charles Manson, and he signed it. What do you think that's worth?
Personally, I wouldn't give you a penny for it, but, you know, I'm not into that type of stuff. But there's guys that do collect that. And what do you think, Bill? Maybe a couple $100 for that? I don't know.
Well, I'm kind of on your side. We don't really do serial killer stuff or Nazi stuff or that type of stuff. It's just, it does have an audience, and I don't exactly know what the right venue to sell it in, but our auction is not the right venue.
Yeah, and it wouldn't be something I'd be interested in. When I look at somebody like that, I think of the families, and it's just like, you know, of the people that he killed, and it's like, don't want to do it. Well, it's time to do the drawing.
This week's winner is John from Bartlett. So, John, email me your address, vince@arcdelivery.com. I'll deliver it to your door, your work, free of charge.
And you have to get in touch with him by Thursday.
Yes.
Because if you don't, well, actually, it won't go into next week's drawing because we're not going to have a show next
two
week.
2 weeks, yes.
Yeah, so you can go to HugginsandScott.com this week. Triple Crown in Naperville is open today. I'm going to be closed Wednesday through Saturday because my oldest son, Jimmy's getting married.
Congratulations.
My wife, Carolyn, and I are so excited about this. We love the Lizzie's getting married, too, so we're all excited. But I'm going to be closed for a few days Wednesday through Saturday. We're not going to do a show next Saturday morning. But then next Sunday I'll be back, and I'm going to be open at Triple Crown. Remember, Masters weekend Sunday I'm going to be open.
We'll be waiting in line.
Yeah.
So, Tom, does everybody at the tables at the wedding, do they get an unopened pack on their table?
You know, that's an idea that they might do something. We might do something like that. Yeah. I was handing out things this morning here at the station to give
like
to people.
Like cigars when you have a baby, you know, handing out packs.
No cigars are giving out collectibles. So skipping next week, but we'll see you in 2 weeks. Have a great week, everybody.